Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Very thankful that you've tuned in today for another edition of Abounding Grace. We are studying this week the exciting section in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and this wonderful verse in verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." Now that is what this section of John's gospel is about. It's about life. And the problem with human beings, the problem because of the fallen Adam and our sin, and that we've received the sin of Adam imputed to us, that we are born sinners, and that we can't change that state, the problem is that we're all searching to find satisfaction in anything and everything other than Jesus Christ. And we've seen that pictured in John's gospel. We've seen the woman at the well, five husbands. How does anyone have five husbands? Well, you see this in Hollywood and you see it in people's lives. The reality is they're very empty people and they're searching to be filled. They want acceptance and they're trying to get it from men. What about the sick man here for 38 years who's just hoping he can jump at the pool right at the right moment when it's stirred up to be made well? He is searching to find his life in physical remedies. That a problem today? You have the sign seekers. All they want is a thrill. We have that problem in the church today. You have the religionists who all they have are a list of rules and they beat everyone over the head who doesn't keep the rules like they see it. None of these people are full. None of these people are satisfied. It's only Jesus Christ who can fill the soul. And so you see what Jesus is describing here. He's describing the benefits that flow from the life that he gives. He's describing what this life looks like. When that life is implanted, when the life is implanted in the soul of man, what happens? Jesus says there's going to be an ability to hear the word and believe. And when that happens, it's not that you will have life. If you have the ability to hear, and if you have the ability to believe, that means the Lord has been super abounding in his grace to you because he's planted life in your soul to make that so. No one has the natural ability to work up an ability to hear God's word and believe in the Son of God because the claims here in John 5 are radical. So this is what Jesus is describing, the blessedness of the one who has been given life. Nothing in the world can give it to you. Not alcohol, not sex, not homes, not money, not all the securities you could ever have. They can never satisfy the longing of your heart. It is only Jesus Christ. Until you taste and see that he is good, you'll always be on an endless quest, groping around, trying to satisfy your soul with things, and it's just a never-ending pursuit of emptiness. When Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness in the Beatitudes and promise that they shall be filled," that was not something that we work up and accomplish. They are not, Jesus is not saying you will be blessed if, he's saying, if this is characteristic of you, you are a blessed person because that's what Christ has done for you. And that's what we're seeing in John's gospel. He has come and he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We ultimately don't seek, we ultimately don't find because Jesus is not the lost one, right? We're the lost ones. We're the ones that need to be found. And that's what he's doing. He's planting life into hearts. And Christ is promising here to fill. Now, here's the beauty. The moment that life is given to you, Jesus declares here, judgment is over. So, again, let me reorient us to what he's doing. He's warning those who aren't believing in him. And for now, he's describing what the blessed life looks like, what happens when somebody's blessed. During the course of life, they hear the word and they believe and they've passed from death into life. They're satisfied in the soul. They're given life. They're given living water. It's bursting in their hearts unto everlasting life, as he told the woman at the well. And now he says, but you need to understand too, that in passing from death to life, you have already been judged. The final judgment will not come upon you in terms of being judged for your sins. If this life is planted in you, that shows itself in the love for the word, that you drink Christ, you will never come into judgment, says Jesus. Judgment is over. That's how the New Testament pictures the Christian life and Judgment Day. It has been pushed forward for them to the cross. It's already happened. When Jesus went to the cross, he declared, "It is finished." All who are in him, all who believe in him, that was judgment day for them. Isn't that wonderful? You will never be judged for your sins as a Christian. So this is what he's describing here. It's a wonderful encouragement. It's what Colossians 1 says. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his son, in his a son of his love. You won't be judged. So do you see what he's described? When life is given, the hunger that takes over in your soul is a hunger for the word, who is Christ, and he's promised to fill you. And you see how powerful chapter 7 is when he's in the temple and he says, all who are thirsty, let them come to me and drink. We'll come back to this in a moment.
At the time of the Protestant Reformation, there was a recovery of what they had believed had been so lost. Biblical expositional preaching of the Word of God. Here at the Linden United Reformed Church, we are committed to continue that wonderful tradition of preaching the whole counsel of God in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. We would love to have you as a part of our fellowship. The greatest need of our day is bold and unashamed proclamation of the truth. Join us at the Linden United Reformed Church to learn more of who we are and what we believe.
When Jesus went into the temple, this was a place, you know, where they thought they would have life. Jesus cries out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He was saying, I will satisfy, I will fill, I am your life. So what he describes in verse 24 is how life begins. It's the very same truth with Nicodemus, that when someone is born again, life is implanted there in the heart. There is a love for the word of Christ. Now, that's not it. Too many Christians think that the extent of the gospel is when we first believed. But now in verses 25 and 26, he describes what that life looks like in the present, that it's an abundant life, that it's a filled life in the now. Well, what does it look like? Verse 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and already now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. That is a wonderful verse. I'm really moved by it. There's an hour coming. Jesus says, it's not just coming, it's here, it's now. And do you know what's going to happen? The dead will hear the Son's voice and they will live. He's not really talking at this point about the final resurrection, because the final resurrection of the body cannot be said to have happened now. What's he describing? He's describing what Revelation 20 opens up for us about the reality of those who've been saved. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Remember Ephesians 2? You who were dead in trespasses and sins he made alive. That's the first resurrection. The second resurrection is that of the body. The first resurrection is that of the soul. And that happens in this life. I love what he's describing here. The hour has come, and now is, that the Son of God is speaking. And do you know what's happening when he speaks? Life. Right now, souls are being raised. Right now, the Son's voice is penetrating into hard hearts like my heart and your heart, and we're living. I'm not talking about breathing. I'm talking about really living and satisfying joy. I'm not sure sometimes we ultimately grasp this gospel. It's so wonderful of what Christ does. Too many Christians are so-called Christians are living this miserable, sad, complaining life, aren't they? They're miserable people. They're empty. Life is so hard, and things never seem to go well, and everyone's against them, and no one cares about them. And all of it just overtakes them. Just seems so unbearable. And they have just come to regard the here and now as a conflict that they'll never overcome. They give up. That's really not what Christ is describing. Sure, life's hard. Life is full of afflictions. Life is full of tribulation and sorrows. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. But what Jesus is describing is this. My voice right now is breaking into hearts, and my life is filling the souls of people, and they're living. I mean living. Really living. What is that? Not a denial of suffering and pain. It means through it all, whatever circumstance, the life of Jesus Christ is filling them. And that's what Paul said. And that's why Paul could say, I could count it all joy in the midst of trials. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So, not the best life now. That comes in the resurrection. Joel Osteen's wrong. Where the best life is in the resurrection. Right now is full of tribulation and sorrow. But I'm talking about in that sorrow, the abundance of Christ's life filling us so that our joy is untouched. You say, I want to know what that is. Let me describe it the way the disciples heard it. John himself was so moved by this teaching of Christ. Do you know, in his little epistle, he mentions life 13 times. If the Christian is given life now, what does it look like? We'll close with this today. Think about it. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life. Ready for this? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You ever met people who hate or refuse to forgive, call themselves Christians? I refuse to talk to that person, refuse to forgive that person. You know what kind of people they are? Miserable. Because that lack of love screams of a rot of bitterness in the heart that is devoid of truly living. And that's what makes this life so real and powerful for the Christian. Because when someone is able actually to love their enemies, that can only be explained by the supernatural work of the one who has planted life there to make such love possible. And that's the greatest paradox, that the happiest people in this life are those who can love that way because Jesus has filled them. That's just one application. Do you have this life? Are you satisfied in Jesus? These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you may have life in his name. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in London. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.